Amen. Numbers chapter 31. Numbers chapter 31. The froward and the toward. Or is it the toward and froward? Isn't English wonderful? The froward and the toward. We use the terms to and fro. Froward is a word that means something bad. Proverbs 11, verse 20 says, "They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord." Toward is good. Psalm 25, verse 15, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." God wanted to help Israel understand a divine principle. He is not tolerant of the froward. That is, those who devise evil and go away from him, and those who cause others to do so. However, he will reward the toward, those who diligently seek him and are faithful to him. So we have Numbers chapter 31, and there is a group of people that are froward, and God wants the people who are toward him to deal with those who are froward. The froward folks are the Midianites. Numbers chapter 31, verses 1 and 2, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people." That is, Moses would be gathered unto. This is very, very close to the end of Moses' life, just before the Israelites are going to go into the promised land. Moses is not allowed to go in. So there's this one thing that God wants Moses to lead the people to deal with before he goes on to paradise, and that is to deal with the Midianites. Now, a little background on the Midianites. Way back in Genesis chapter 37, verse 28, the Midianites were part of that group to whom the brothers sold Joseph. It was some Midianites and some Ishmaelites that were mixed in together on a caravan going down to Egypt as merchantmen, and the Midianites were part of that group that took Joseph and sold him into slavery. Numbers chapter 22, verse 4, "Moab said unto the elders of Midian," remember, the king of Moab was the one who engaged Balaam to curse Israel. Well, the Midianites, according to Numbers chapter 22, verse 4 and verse 7, the Midianites participated in that approach to try to have Balaam curse the Israelites, and it resulted in a compromise that brought about Numbers chapter 20, verse 25, verse 8, "So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel," remember, because of what Balaam encouraged the Moabites and the Midianites to do with the Israelites, causing them to engage in immoral activity, a plague came on the Israelites. So God ordered Moses to vex the Midianites. Numbers chapter 25, verses 16 through 18, tell us how they were to vex the Midianites and smite them. And then Numbers chapter 31 and verse 3, here we are. In Numbers chapter 31, verse 3, "Moses spake unto the people, saying, Arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian." Now, the Midianites had perpetrated an offense on the Israelites, but God is saying, if you harm my people, you are harming me. Now, there were over 600,000 soldiers available among the Israelites. We know that in Numbers chapter 26, verse 2, where they were to take the sum of all that are able to go to war. And in verse 51 of that chapter, it says 600,000 and 1,730. So that's 601,730 soldiers available to go to war. But here in Numbers chapter 31, verse 3, where he says, arm yourselves and let them arm some of yourselves, he says, unto the war. Verse 4, of every tribe 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel shall ye send to the war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed of war. So only 12,000 are going after the Midianites, which is interesting because we're going to find that apparently the Midianites were a considerable group of people, but only 12,000. And one of the reasons that God often used a small number of Israelite soldiers was to make an impression on the people of Israel that it really wasn't them getting the victory. It was God giving them the victory. God wanted them to understand they must depend upon him and not take things into their own hands. Numbers chapter 31 and verse 6, Phinehas apparently is the one who led the procession of the army. Verse 6, Moses sent them to war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. Remember, in Numbers chapter 10, we learned about the trumpets and the various sounds that they made with the trumpets. In this case, there was the sound of an alarm, which indicated it was time to go to war. That's the significance of the trumpets there. Then it very simply says in verse 7, they warred against the Midianites, as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. Not a lot of details on the battle, just the fact that they defeated the Midianite army and killed all of the men among the Midianites, including in verse 8, 5 kings. They slew the kings of Midian, and it names 5 of them. And at the end of the verse, they also slew Balaam, the son of Beor. They slew with the sword. Isn't it interesting that Balaam is still with the Midianites? Because he wasn't a Midianite. If you recall, Balaam was a Gentile that was from Mesopotamia, which is far north. But he didn't go back home after the fiasco with the Israelites. Stayed with the Midianites. And now he has met his end in this battle. Now, they didn't totally eliminate the Midianites, because over in the book of Judges, chapter 6, the Midianites show up again. So when we get to Judges in chapter 6, we'll see some Midianites again. They took captives of the women and the children. Verse 9 of Numbers chapter 31, the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle and of all their flocks and all their goods. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and beasts. So everything the men had, that they killed all the men, but everything that the men owned, they took. All their possessions, they brought the women and the children. Then in verse 10, they burnt the cities. All the 5 cities, I am assuming, of the 5 kings that they killed, they burnt all their cities wherein they dwelt and all their goodly castles with fire. Now, that word castles is interesting because if you know any history of castles, castles at that time were typically built out of wood, not like the medieval castles. So it was easy to burn them down. So here come the victors. Verse 12. And they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. Now Moses rebuked them because they didn't finish the job. Verse 13, Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth or angry with the officers of the host, with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, have ye saved all the women alive? Why would they kill the women? Verse 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So the women of the Midianites were just as repulsive to God as the men were. The women were the ones who had enticed the Israelite men to do immoral things. And so the women were also supposed to be eliminated. Besides, all they will do is raise more boys and girls to believe like the Midianites believed. And so Moses ordered a correction of the error. Verse 17, now therefore kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. Only the pure little girls were to be saved. Now, let me say, it was not typical for Israel to kill women and children, particularly children of those who lived outside the promised land. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 20, let's go back there. Oh, not back, forward. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 10. It says, when thou comest nigh unto a city, this is while they're in the wilderness, they're not in the promised land. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. So we're outside of the promised land. These are not the people that they're supposed to conquer in order to take over the promised land. So let's make peace, but the condition of peace is you're going to pay us taxes. Verse 12, and if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered into thy hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of sword, but the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. In other words, these nations are the ones inside the promised land. This is what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to deal with the Gentiles outside of the promised land. Killing men, women, and children was reserved, and I hope you get the significance. I have the Jordan River on the east side is outside the promised land. On the west side is inside the promised land. That's the meaning of the graphic. Killing men, women, and children was typically reserved for the extermination process of the wicked people inside the promised land. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16. But of the cities of these people, that is the people inside the promised land, which he had named previously, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, now he's going to name them again, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. These are the people living inside the promised land, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done under their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. Now, it sounds cruel for God to say, kill men, women, and children, but there was a reason for that. How many wicked groups of people are there, pagan, idolatrous groups of people are there in the world who have been like that for generation after generation after generation after generation? God says, if I don't exterminate this group of people completely, the children are just going to grow up and be like their parents. You say, well, how does he know that? Because God knows everything. He knows they're not going to believe him. He knows the next generation of this group of people are not going to believe. He knows that when this next generation grows up, they're going to be just as wicked as their parents. And so because he knows the future and he knows what the outcome of this group of people is going to be, he wants them exterminated in the promised land entirely so that they won't influence the people of Israel. Now, the Midianites are not inside the promised land. But in this particular case, God says, eliminate the women and the boys because he knows these women are so wicked, all they're going to do is train their boys to grow up and be just like their fathers. He knows what they will do. And so he says, eliminate the women and the boys, save only the pure young girls. Verse 18 of Numbers chapter 31. Verse 18, but all the women children that are pure, save them. Now, because the soldiers had touched dead bodies in the process of killing them, they had to be cleansed. That was part of the law. You touch a dead body, you're considered unclean, and so you have to be cleansed. Verse 19 of chapter 31. And do ye abide without the camp 7 days, he's talking to the soldiers, whosoever hath killed any person and whosoever hath touched any slain, purify both yourselves and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. According to the law, anyone who touched the dead body, Numbers chapter 19, verse 11 says, he that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. That's simply the law. Now, think about this. Soldiers have been out on the battlefield. We're not told how long the battle took. I don't think it probably took very long, since God only had to use 12,000 soldiers, and he only gives one verse to tell us about the victory. But nevertheless, they're out on the battlefield. They're killing the enemy. And then they come home and they have to spend 7 days away from their families. But that was the law. Why did God have such laws? It was testing the obedience of the people. We don't live under the law, and so we don't have to abide by that particular regulation today. But the Israelites had to be tested. Plus, the Israelites were supposed to demonstrate to the Gentile nations a kind of obedience they didn't understand. And so all of this was to be for a testimony of obedience unto God. Now, they brought a whole lot of things with them, and some of it included gold and silver and precious stones. So this had to be purified as well. It's been in wicked hands. It has to be cleansed in order to be used for the Lord. So verse 21 here in Numbers chapter 31 says, "And Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war which went to battle, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded. Only the gold and the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be cleansed." So anything that you could put in the fire that would not be consumed by fire had to be cleansed by fire, but it also had to be cleansed with water. At the end of verse 23, "Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation." Do you remember what that is? Remember, they burned the red heifer, they saved the ashes, and they used the ashes of the red heifer to mix it in a particular water solution that was used for a cleansing ceremony. And so the metals that could survive fire had to be purged with fire and then washed with this solution from the red heifer ashes. Then anything that might be consumed in fire had to be cleansed just with the water solution. And verse 23 concludes, "And all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through the water." And verse 24, "Ye shall wash your clothes on the seventh day, and ye shall be clean, and afterward ye shall come into the camp." Now, God rewarded all of those who had obeyed his voice and did his will. And here we were going to take an inventory of all that was taken in spoils, and it's going to be divided in half. Numbers chapter 31, verse 25, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the sum of the prey that was taken, both of man and beast," verse 27, "and divide the prey into two parts." Now, half of it was to go to the 12,000 soldiers, and the other half was to be distributed throughout the rest of the people among the nation. Verse 27, "Divide the prey into two parts between them that took the war upon them who went out to battle, and between all the congregation." And we're going to get some details about all of this. I hope this isn't too boring for you, but it's part of the Word of God and something that we will consider. So, in verse 28, he says, "And levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war which went out to battle, one soul of 500, both of the persons and of the beeves and of the asses and of the sheep." So now, half of all the spoils was to go to 12,000 men. And we're going to find out all 12,000 survived. Not one Israeli soldier died, even though they killed all the Midianite men. It's amazing. So half of all the spoils is going to 12,000 men. And out of their portion, they are supposed to give some to the priests. And their portion is one out of every 500. Now, the young girls, the young pure girls are the persons. The beeves are, of course, steers, cattle, and then the donkeys and the sheep. And this was to be given to the priest, verse 29, "Take it of their half and give it unto Eleazar the priest for an heave offering of the Lord." And then a portion that was distributed among all the rest of the Israelites, which means each one of the 12,000 soldiers got a lot more than any other individual in the nation of Israel. They got 12,000 got half, and all the rest of the children of Israel got half. And it says that their half, out of their half, they are to give a portion unto the Levites. Remember, there's, of course, the priests are Levites, but there were Levites who were not priests. And so the priests got a portion out of the 12,000, one out of every 500, but out of the half that went to the children of Israel, one out of every 50, verse 30. So, here comes the full inventory. In verses 31 and 32, we're told, verses 31 and 32, it tells us there were 675,000 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. Then it says there were 72,000 steers. Ooh. And there were 61,000 donkeys in verse 34. And in verse 35, there were 32,000 young ladies. So, one out of every 500 went to the priests, which means, no, wait a minute. Okay, first of all, the half that went to the soldiers, 337,500 sheep. Divide that by 12,000. I don't know. That's a lot of sheep for each soldier. 36,000 steers, 30,500 donkeys, 16,000 young ladies. And there would be young men, presumably the sons of the soldiers, that would marry these young ladies, bring them, assimilate them into the Israelites so that they would be children of God rather than otherwise. So the tribute to the priest, one out of 50, 675 sheep, 72 steers, 61 donkeys, and 32 young ladies went to the priests. Now, the tribute, one out of every 500, we already know what the half is. One out of every 500, 6,750 sheep went to the Levites, 720 steers, 610 donkeys, and 320 young ladies. Let me move along here. Try to finish this up. Verse 48 and 49. And the officers which were over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands, the captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses, and they said unto Moses, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. Can you imagine? Now, if there are 675,000 sheep, 72,000 steers, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 daughters, how many Midianite men were there? It had to be a sizable number. But 12,000 soldiers only of the Israelites go into battle, kill all the men, and not one of them died. That just has to be of the Lord. And so, what was the soldiers' response? Verse 50. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord. What every man hath gotten. Note, they not only took animals, they took a lot of stuff. And so, out of the things that they took, which the soldiers were allowed to keep for themselves as spoils of war, what every man hath gotten of jewels of gold, chains and bracelets, rings, earrings and tablets to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord. They give this to the tabernacle, to the priests of the tabernacle. The priests would then melt all of this down and use it to make utensils, golden utensils for the tabernacle. Verse 52, and all the gold of the offering that they offered up to the Lord. Verse 53, for the men of war had taken spoil every man for himself. Verse 54, and Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of the captains of thousands and of hundreds and brought it into the tabernacle of the congregation for a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. In other words, because of the success of the soldiers, they were so grateful to the Lord that they gave him an offering, a substantial offering. The lesson: God will not tolerate frowardness from anyone. The Midianites were froward. They were very froward. Not only did they do wickedness, they participated in enticing God's people to do wickedness. These Israeli soldiers were toward the Lord. Were they perfect? No. They failed to do all they were supposed to do, but they were still toward the Lord. Do you always do everything you are supposed to do? I would love to see someone raise their hand, and I would challenge you. But they were moving in the right direction. God understands that you're not perfect. Were the Israelite soldiers perfect? No. But the Israelite soldiers did the right thing. They thanked the Lord for his deliverance. Does God want us to be perfect? Yes, what does he say? Be ye holy as I am holy. But does he understand that you will never be 100% perfect in this life? Yes. But go, please, to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, Paul said, "I don't consider myself to be perfect. I'm not at that point yet." So, he says, "but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward." There's our word, toward. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." God understands that we will never be 100% perfect or holy in this life. What he's looking for is for you to be moving in the right direction. And as long as there is movement in your life and you're moving in the right direction, he will be gracious to you. Psalm 18, verse 26. Psalm 18, verse 26. "With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward." If you're going fro instead of to, God's going to be fro concerning you. But as long as you are moving in the right direction and going toward his objective for your life, he will be gracious to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Help us all to be those who are moving toward you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.